ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
As a player sets up and disperses his playthings according to his own sweet will, so the supreme will of the Lord brings men together and separates them. Report. We must know for certain that the particular position in which we are now set up is an arrangement of the supreme will in terms of his own acts in the past. The Supreme Lord is present as the localized Paramatma in the heart of every living being, as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, and therefore he knows everything of our activities in every stage of our lives. He rewards the reactions of our actions by placing us in some particular place. A rich man gets his son born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but the child who came as the rich man's son deserved such a place, and therefore he is placed there by the will of the Lord. And in a particular moment when the child has to be removed from that place, he is also carried by the will of the Supreme, even if the child or the father does not wish to be separated from the happy relation. The same things happens in the case of a poor man also. Neither rich man nor poor man has any control over such meetings or separations of living beings. The example of a player and his playthings should not be misunderstood. One may argue that since the Lord is bound to reward the reactionary results of our own actions, the example of a player cannot be applied. But it is not so. We must always remember that the Lord is the supreme will, and he is not bound by any law. Generally, the law of karma is that one is awarded the result of his own actions. But in special cases, by the will of the Lord, such resultant actions are changed also. But this change can be effected by the will of the Lord only, and no other. Therefore, the example of the player cited in this verse is quite appropriate. The supreme will of the Lord is absolutely free, for he is free to do whatever he likes. And because he is all perfect, there is no mistake in any of his actions or reactions. These changes of resultant actions are especially rendered by the Lord when a pure devotee is involved. It is assured in Bhagavad Gita that the Lord saves a pure devotee who has surrendered unto him without reservation from all sorts of reactions of sins, and there is no doubt about this. There are hundreds of examples of reactions changed by the Lord in the history of the world. If the Lord is able to change the reactions of one's past deeds, then certainly he is not himself bound by any action or reaction of his own deeds. He is perfect and transcendental to all laws. As a player sets up and disperses his playthings according to his own sweet will, so the supreme will of the Lord brings men together and separates them. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said by Lord Sri Krishna, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma karataham iti manyate. That a bewildered spirit soul thinks himself to be the doer of his activities, but in actuality, you can turn it louder now, I think, such actions are being carried out by nature. Here it is described that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the controller of all controllers, and not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. The Supreme Lord is perfect and complete, and therefore everything that takes place is perfectly according to his arrangement. There is no imperfection, save and accept our failure to see the divine will of God in every situation of life. When we perform or commit sinful activities, it is the perfect arrangement of the Lord, through the agency of the laws of karma, that we are given a resultant reaction or punishment to those sins. When we perform pious activities, we get a corresponding reaction. But this is all under the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. Mayadhyakshena prakriti sunyate sacharacharam. Therefore, one who is of sufficient intelligence, understanding the nature of the laws of nature, the laws of God, removes himself from the bondage of this condition through the simple process of surrendering to Krishna. Krishna describes in Gita that one who surrenders unto me, he is no longer under the laws of nature or karma. Daivi heshu gunamayi mama maya duratiya mam evam ye prapadyante mayam eta durantite. It is described in this verse that this material nature, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. In fact, it is impossible to overcome. But one who surrenders unto me, Sri Krishna declares, he can easily cross beyond it. Samasrita ye padapalavaplavam mahatparam punyapmurahu. Samasrita ye padapalavaplavam mahatparam punyapmurahu. Kripambudirvatsa padam param padam 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 yadvi padam yadesha. It is described that this material existence is like a vast ocean. Who can cross over the ocean by their own efforts? But for one who surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for one who understands that his lotus feet are our only shelter, the ocean is reduced to the size of a footprint of a cap. Very easy to cross over. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described like this. Therefore, although due to our past pious and sinful deeds, we are being put into various conditions of life, in any condition of life, if we simply learn the art of turning to Krishna, then all of our karma is relieved. We are liberated. We are free at that instant. And there are many stories throughout history how this takes place. There is a story of a great king. His name is Indrajumna. But because he was careless on one occasion, he committed an offense to a great sadhu. And this sadhu cursed him to take birth as an animal. Huh? So his next birth, he became a very large elephant of the name Indrajumna, Gajendra. So this Gajendra, he was enjoying a very happy, prosperous life in the jungle with his children, with his wife, with his friends. He was so powerful, he was the king of the jungle. And his subjects were all very loyal and very dear to him. And he took place on a very heavenly planet where it was never too hot and never too cold, where there were beautiful flowers, fragrant, sweet fruits. It was like paradise. So in this way, the elephant Gajendra, although in this abominable animal body, was under the impression that he was enjoying the delights of life to no limit. But this material world, at any moment, in fact, at the least expected moment, the surprise comes into our life where we realize that everything is finished. And no one has any control to stop it. How many times we make our plans? It is said, man proposes, but God disposes. And how he wants to dispose is not always according to our calculations of what we like. Prahlad Maharaj describes that this whole process of plan making, making material arrangements for happiness, it is called Maya Sukhaya. Maya Sukhaya means that the great illusion of the pursuit of happiness. Big, big, grand plans people are making individually, as a family, as a society, as a nation, as a race. And to the degree we make these big, big plans, to that degree we must be frustrated when these plans are overturned by the sweet will of the Lord. And they are always overturned by the sweet will of the Lord. It is not maybe or if, it is simply a matter of when. That's all. The only question is, when will Krishna reverse everything? And the more successful we are, and the more we become very proud and arrogant at the thought of how distinguished a reputation we have by our successful plan making, the more it hurts painfully when we come to the realization that we are not the controller. That there are forces beyond me that render me helpless. Generally, this happens to us time and time again during our life. And at the time of death, then we all understand quite clearly that we are helpless. We are hopeless. We are depending on the mercy of higher powers. So Prahlad Maharaj told Lord Nrsingadev that as far as I am concerned, I am very happy. My father tried to kill me. But so what? No problem. He threw me off a mountain. He tried to crush me by huge rocks, by elephants. He threw me in a pit of poison cobras. He tried to have powerful Maharathi Rakshasas stab me to death with their sharpened tridents. He fed me enough poison to kill hundreds of men. With his own arms that defeated Indra, the king of heaven, he wanted to sever my head with his sword. But my dear Lord, I was never the slightest bit disturbed by any of these conditions, because I was always remembering you. When the thought of you comes into one's mind, all miseries, all disturbance, all distress, they cannot exist. Misery is due to ignorance. Ignorance is symbolized by darkness. And Krishna is light. Like the sun. In the presence of the sun, can darkness remain? Is it possible? It is utterly impossible for darkness to exist in the presence of the sun. Krishna Surya Sa Maya Hoya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Tahan Mahi Maya Radhika. Krishna is like the sun and Maya, ignorance, is like darkness. Where there is the light of Krishna, all the darkness of ignorance and its complementary miseries, frustrations, anxieties, bondage, they are immediately dispelled. So Gajendra, he was thinking himself very great. And he had made all his good plans. He had a beautiful family. So many little elephants bringing him great joy. His children. Did you ever see a baby elephant? You know, usually between one species and another, there's not much attraction. But a baby elephant is more attractive to a human being, practically, than even a baby human. Huh? Did you ever see a baby elephant dance around, play in the water? You immediately fall in love with it. You want to embrace it. Usually you don't, but you want to. Well, Gajendra had the most beautiful little baby elephants. So you can imagine. And they were his own. We love baby elephants, but imagine if we gave birth to them, how much we would love them. So Gajendra was very much feeling joy, thinking, just see what I have. I have power, I have esteem, I have control over the jungle, I have loyal subjects and good friends, and I have a very chaste and beautiful wife, and I have so many nice little elephant children. So one day, when he took his friends and family members to bathe in a freshwater lake, he was enjoying like anything. He went into the lake, and in order to satisfy his family members and increase their affection for him, he began to spray them with water. And they were all thinking, how nice, just see our father, our friend, our master, our lover, how he is just so perfect in all respects. So Krishna let him go on this way for some time. But then, the crocodile. At the least expected moment, right at the summit of his enjoyment. The crocodile bit him on the foot. Gajendra was thinking, who do you think you are? I am a big elephant, you are a little crocodile. Get out of my way. Tried to shake him off. Crocodile would not let go. Gajendra, then he started to fight. Gajendra with all his power and all his strength, a little crocodile. But he could not defeat him. Because in the water, a crocodile was more powerful than an elephant. So they began to fight. Gajendra was trying to drag the crocodile out of the water, and the crocodile was dragging him back in the water. They were going back and forth, fighting for thousands of years. Meanwhile, all the family members, they were just watching. And all his friends, they were just watching. And all his loyal, faithful subjects, they were just watching. And Gajendra looked at them, and he realized he was getting weaker and weaker and weaker, because there was no food. But the crocodile was getting stronger and stronger and stronger, because he was in his element. Then Gajendra looked at his friends, his family members, his well-wishers, and he realized that you are all useless. I have put my faith, my trust, my love in all of you for my whole life, and now I need you. And what are you doing? You're watching. You're crying. What is the use of all these attachments? What of the use of all this so-called pleasure? That when that time of testing, when that reversal comes into our life, who do we have to turn to? Gajendra was put in that situation by the will of God. and in utter desperation, when he was about to be killed, we may say that it was due to his past karma that he was put into this situation. But you see, whether your condition of life is due to your previous karma, or whether it is simply the divine intervention of God Himself, it really makes no difference. The fact is, it is ultimately the arrangement of God. And whatever the reason, whatever the cause, if you cry out to Krishna, if you turn to Krishna and surrender to His holy name, Krishna says in Gita, I am for that person the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. As long as Gajendra thought that by his own plan-making activities he could solve this problem, he never even thought of Krishna. He was fighting for thousands of years, trying to make his own arrangements. Does it sound familiar? This world is full of problems at every step. And Prahlad Maharaj's definition, Maya Sukhaya, is exactly how we all live. We are constantly trying to make our big, big plans to make everything work out just right. And with every plan, whether it is a success or a failure, we become more deeply entrenched in the bondage of the illusion that I am the controller, that I am independent of God. But when everything failed, and Gajendra was at the verge of death, when his whole life was at the brink of destruction, he remembered the previous words of the sadhus that he had heard in a previous birth. He remembered the prayers of these great sadhus of helpless shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. So with a peaceful mind, he plucked a lotus flower with his trunk. He rose it into the sky and offered it as an offering of devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Hari. And he began to offer beautiful prayers from his heart. Ye yatham am prapadyante tham sthathai vabajamyaham mama vartmanu bharatante manusya bharata sarvasha. Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. Because Gajendra, with great desperation, knowing no other shelter but Lord Hari, cried out his holy name and offered prayers. At that very instance, the beautiful, effulgent, almighty form of Godhead appeared from the sky, riding on his bird carrier Garuda. He gracefully descended on the scene of this pastime. And then he took his Sudarshan Chakra and he cut off the head of the crocodile and released Gajendra from the bondage. So Gajendra could have said, oh, Krishna, thank you very much. Now I can enjoy again. Huh? That's the way most of us are. We beg Krishna in distress, save me. Help me. And then after he helps us, then we don't need him anymore. You have done your job. Thank you very much. Now you can carry on with your next Leela. I do not require your Leela anymore. Huh? Huh? That's very ungrateful. How many times do we do this? We are in distress, we pray to God, the distress is relieved, and then we think, now I can enjoy. But Gajendra, his heart changed by this experience. And he turned to Lord Sri Krishna, and he said, I have no one but you. And Krishna was so satisfied by his genuine and honest sincerity. In his prayerfulness, and his surrender, that right then and there, Krishna transformed this monstrous elephant into a Vaikuntha form, his eternal swarup. And he took him on his flower airplane and sent him back to the eternal abode, the spiritual world. So here we have an instance of the most unsolvable problem imaginable. The most ghastly experience that can come into your life, where you're being slowly eaten away by the crocodile of death. But when we turn to Krishna, when we make him the object of our shelter, it is guaranteed. Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad jajim nam namaskaru mame vaishyasi satyante prati jani priyoshi. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my dear friend. The simple story of Gajendra the elephant is concrete proof that the word of God is infallible. And there are innumerable such stories within the history of the great sadhus, the great sages. God is easily accessible at every moment in our life through his devotees, and through his holy name. The supreme mercy of God has descended in this world through these two agencies. By taking shelter of the great devotees who have surrendered their lives to the Lord, one is fully immersed at the feet of God. And by chanting his holy name, with feeling, attention, and prayer, then all the power and all the glory of God is there to guide us and to protect us. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a simple process. Anyone in any condition of life can become perfect by simply understanding these two principles. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhi Cheti Koriye Mudar. You must know that pure love of God, eternal joy, is within your heart. By associating with the great sadhus, and by attentively chanting his holy name, this pure love of God within us is awakened. That love is like the shining of hundreds and millions of suns rising on the horizon simultaneously. And all the darkness, which is the cause of doubt and fear, and lust and greed and anger and envy and illusion, anxiety, it is immediately dissipated by the brilliant light of the mercy of the Lord. This is the goal of life for every human being. To simply learn in one's life in whatever position of life we're in. Whether we are a lawyer or a businessman or a doctor or a housewife or a student, whether we are a field worker or whether we are an elephant, or whether we're the king, if we simply learn how to take shelter of the lotus feet of the sadhus, and we learn how to cry out the name of God, our life is perfect. That is the number one top priority of all intelligent, civilized human beings. And no material consideration should stand between us and this great opportunity that we have. Very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? If one is in the process of devotion to God, then such a person is no longer under the influence of karma. He is under the divine energy of the Lord's influence. Therefore, whatever takes place in such a devotee's life is by the will of God, directly. For a person who is acting independent of God's direction, he is simply reaping the results of his previous actions or karma, which is indirectly the will of the Lord. Indirectly meaning that the laws of karma are happening automatically, but they are created by Krishna. So, under all circumstances, we can enlighten our consciousness if we see that whatever situation, especially distressful situations, it is an opportunity to deepen the intensity of our devotion to the Lord. It is an opportunity to understand through realization how much we are helplessly depending on Him at every moment. Janmaiswarya Sruti Sribir Edamanamadakuman Naivarhati Vidatum Vaitvam Akinchina Gocharam. When everything is going nicely, our tendency is to become very proud, to think that I am independent. See what I can do. But when everything falls apart in front of us, then all we can say is, just see what I cannot do. Usually we say, please, don't look. We try to, when we do something very glorious and good, we want to show the world. But when we fail, we want to hide. Our weaknesses, we want to hide from everybody. And our strengths, we want to proudly boast. Huh? But when you are in a position where your true condition is revealed to everyone, how you are weak, how you are nothing, then you are in a very, very suitable condition to cry out for Krishna. But if you are an intelligent man, you need not be put in those situations. There are also so many examples of persons in positions of great prosperity who never had to go through these anxiety-ridden trials and tribulations. Because with their good intelligence and by the grace of the great devotees of the Lord, by hearing their sweet words, they knew that everything is the grace of God. I am not the doer. God is working through me in all circumstances, and I am always depending on Him. Whether one is in happiness or distress, whether one is a grihasta or a sannyasi, whether one is in success or failure, doesn't matter. If we turn to Krishna, our life is successful. If we are obedient to the words of the great sadhus, if we are anxious to hear from them and serve them, and if we are very, very eager to chant the name of God, then in any condition of life, you are perfect. You are on the path to perfection. So we need not pray for distress. We need not pray for failure. We only pray for the mercy of God in all circumstances. That is bhakti. Is there any other questions?
He said in scriptures that jivo jivasya bhojanam, this one species is meant as a food for the another species. In other words, elephant was simply nothing but a food for the crocodile. By cutting the head of crocodile, the elephant is justified. But crocodile was just simply acting as per the described nature by God. So isn't it an injustice on the part of crocodile? Elephant was justified simply by offering prayer to God. But crocodile was nothing but it was just acting as per the nature provided by God. So elephant was Isn't it injustice?
Yes. By material calculations, it is injustice. But because Krishna was the doer, it was the highest justice. Because Krishna is the chief justice. He is the supreme justice. Whatever he does is the ultimate justice. Why? Because if the crocodile would have just gotten his justice and eaten the elephant, what would have happened? Pretty soon Gajendra would have become crocodile stool and then he would have been hungry again, right? So he had a good meal. But because the Supreme Chief Justice intervened, not only did Gajendra go back to Godhead, but the crocodile went back to Godhead also. Rather than just getting a good meal out of this whole fight, he got to go back to Godhead. Whatever Krishna does is all good for everyone. And even if we are in a condition of this material world, which according to our karma is very justified, when we cry out for Krishna, he removes us from that whole karmic condition and delivers us from the cycle of birth and death. By your own plans, the most you can do is make a temporary arrangement of relief from that problem. But when you cry out for Krishna, you are permanently relieved of all anxieties forever. If you just once surrender to Krishna with your whole heart, as did Gajendra. So that may seem impractical. Because so many times we're in distressful conditions, and so many times we pick up a lotus flower and say, Krishna, save me. And so many times it happens again and again. But are we doing it with all our heart? Are we doing it in a complete state of dependence and devotion? No. Therefore, we must train and practice and cultivate this quality through our life. So that we can do like that. By the association with sadhus and by the chanting of the holy names, this quality of genuine devotion is awakened from within our heart. And then that day will come when by Krishna's divine arrangement, he will put us in just the situation where we can just cry out his name and he will appear before us to take us back to Godhead. That is his promise, his guarantee. And we have absolute faith that it is the truth. We simply must, by our endeavor and our sincere desire, show Krishna that we want it, and he will give it. That is all that is required.